Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts. Aww. He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. And if you've been listening already, we thank you for that especially. Mike Menzies is our guest. He's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the resident banker in our Brain Trust, and one of the smartest guys I know. He's the president and CEO of Easton Bank and Trust over on the Eastern Shore in Easton, Maryland. That's as many Easts as I've ever said in one time, and he's our good friend. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you, sir. If I'm one of the smartest guys you know, I need to expand your friendship.
No, I'm not backing off on that one at all. So the striper, the rockfisher in.
Yes, sir.
The geese are coming in from the north. The stripes are coming in from the ocean.
Yeah.
The geese are coming in from Canada.
You got it.
And everything would have been perfect except for one thing this weekend, right?
That's right. It would have been a perfect weekend, except the Carolina Panthers beat the pants off of the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. Well, didn't the Panthers need a win?
Well, I was impressed. My son and daughter-in-law took us up to the Ravens Stadium, and I was impressed for the first time going to M&T Stadium and seeing that operation go down. But it was one heck of a football game. It really was.
Yeah. So what's going on over there in the Eastern Shore? Anything new and exciting?
Well, the Eastern Shore is probably a great reflection of rural America going through this business cycle, this economic cycle. We have some moderate real estate correction going on. Hmm. We sense a bit the feel for interest rate. The interest rate cycle and being close to what many believe to be the peak of the cycle.
Now, I remember, Mike, when I was up to see you a few years ago, the real estate was really, especially the waterfront property, was just becoming ridiculous.
Yeah,
Is that correcting a little bit up there?
Yes, we have some mild correction underway, and there are some very specific spot developments that are slowing down and a little bit of excess capacity,
but you wouldn't call it a bubble, would you?
No, not quite the contrary.
Yeah.
I think it's it has been described as a correction. I think the media would like you to believe that we're on the edge of a bubble, but I personally don't perceive there's any kind of a bubble. I do think that lenders are cautious about concentrations, and they should be, but. Those who lived through the early 90s and remember
right.
The shortest book in the world was Real Estate Loan Officer Courage.
Right.
understood the meaning of a bubble where in Texas and in New England, developers were walking into the banks and turning over the keys to houses.
Right.
And we have nothing like that. And I
that happened in the 80s, too. And
it happened in
the 70s, too.
Right, for all different reasons. The 70s, of course, the gas embargo. In the 80s, the failure of the savings and loan industry. In the 90s, the excess commercial real estate. But, you know, we've got a strong economy right this moment, it would appear. Unemployment is more than acceptable. Long-term rates are really relatively low, all things considered. Only short rates are high.
Mm-hmm.
And the employment market, at least here in the Baltimore, Washington area, is superior.
Well, you know, but the whole state of Maryland is like under 3% or something, some ridiculous unemployment number. But as long, you know, I've been resisting all of the arguments for a real estate bubble now since Mr. Greenspan started talking about it 3 or 4 years ago. I've disagreed with him vehemently. I admitted that there were some neighborhoods, some maybe even some metropolitan areas that had some inflated pricing. But in terms of a national real estate bubble, it really irritated me. It annoyed the heck out of me that we had the national media getting people all juiced up over a national real estate bubble. People have jobs. As long as people have jobs, I don't even know what it would take. For the last time there was any kind of a national real estate bubble bursting was 1934 or something like that.
Yeah, I'm inclined to believe that all markets, financial and non-financial markets, are driven by two components, and they're called fear and greed.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly employment is a major driver for both of those components. And if you are worried about losing your job, then fear can kick in, and that, I think, could cause real estate problems.
Yeah, but that's not where we are. And I don't care what CNN and Lou Dobbs tells you, folks, that's not where we are. It's 20 till. We're going to be right back with Mike Menzies. He knows what's going on. We're going to talk about banking and small business right after these messages. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame.
I'm Nationwide.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we have a great visit with our good friend and longtime Brain Trust member, Mike Menzies, president of Easton Bank and Trust. And Mike, give us that website, please.
There you go. www.eastonbankandtrust.com.
Check it out, folks. I worked hard to get that website up for you. So
you did. Someday I'll pay you the commission, Jim.
Check it out, folks. It's not your grandfather's small business bank website. Mike, what's going on with the FDIC and some of the proposals they've got that they're talking about making with regard to commercial real estate? What's up with that?
Jim, it's an important question. The FDIC is a good regulator. There's no question about it. And I think the industry has been blessed to have the FDIC as a regulator. They go through the same kind of regulatory cycles that any regulator goes through when economies cycle. And they're concerned about real estate. And there's a basis for the concern. There's no question about that. We saw real estate corrections, as we mentioned, in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. The challenge is that the FDIC is proposing that commercial real estate loans at banks be limited to a certain percentage of their capital, meaning that there be a limitation on commercial real estate loans. And if you look at the history of the industry, much of the lending of the industry has been commoditized today. Car loans and residential mortgage loans, mm-hmm, and other loans have been bundled and packaged and sold in the marketplace. And it's become important for banks to be able to make loans to small businesses to include loans on their commercial real estate. And if you begin to limit that, you may well begin to limit the ability of community banks to lend to small business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bread and butter of community banks, and it's the bread and butter of small business.
So when I got ready to buy my office building back in 93,
mm-hmm,
and the independent community bank that loaned me the money to buy that building, which was one of the most benevolent and one of the most important things any banker ever did for me. I'll never forget him. That banker, Mr. Billy Boland, is no longer with us anymore, but he stepped up and did that for me, and I'll never forget him for that. I'll always remember that great thing that he did for me. Are you saying that my building as a commercial building might have been restricted if this new rule had been in place?
Yeah, it may.
That doesn't make and on behalf of small businesses everywhere, and on behalf of people who have a dream of owning their own building, and as much as I go around, Mike, saying to small business owners, don't rent if you don't have to. Real estate is the stealth benefit of business ownership. As much as I go around and I believe that, I'm a poster child for that. I see it all the time. This is a bad rule.
It's a rule that really needs to be studied hard, and there needs to be some differentiation between the $1 trillion extremely complex financial service enterprise that could have certain types of concentrations and the community bank that makes loans to individuals they know personally on properties they know personally. And there's just such a big difference between the commodity world and the personal relationship banking world when it comes to risking capital.
We love our building so much. It's been such a part of us now for 13 years, Mike. I'm not saying I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now if it weren't for this building, but I'll tell you what, there's some element in that story. I mean, there is some element of what we've done I attribute to this building.
Yeah, well...
And you know what? Not even just to the real estate, but to the leg up that I got, to confidence that it gave me that someone would do that.
Yeah, yeah.
At a time when I was a fledgling company, I don't want to see independent community banks lose any of their ammunition. You guys need it all. Small businesses need you to have that kind of ammunition.
Well, we agree. We think we need to keep our powder dry, and we believe that. Community banks can manage a small business and local commercial real estate loans a lot better than extremely large corporations.
So they put a limit on how much commercial loans you can make based on your capital?
Well, the proposal, and it's just in proposal form, and it has to do with the Basel Accords, which are the international capital standards for the industry. And anytime you try to put everybody of the same size in the same bucket, you have a problem.
How do we stop this, Mike? What do small business owners need to do to prevent this from happening?
Well, I think the thing to do is talk with your local community banks, and they can tell you what to say and what to write to your local senators if, in fact, it advances further,
mm-hmm.
or what they can write to the FDIC.
Will you keep us posted on this?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah,
I'd appreciate that. What about Walmart? Walmart's been rattling the banking sabers for some time now, haven't they?
They have been, and it's been more than fascinating to watch. The Independent Community Bankers of America took on the Walmart threat over a year ago, and it was the only organization in the nation that immediately challenged Walmart. It was truly a David and Goliath situation.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart applied to the FDIC and basically told its management in 90 days it would receive a banking charter
mm-hmm.
by acquiring something called an ILC, an Industrial Loan Corporation, in Nevada, which has full interstate branching privileges. And the ICBA brought in people from all around the country who said, this is really horse manure.
Mm-hmm.
And while it still remains with the FDIC and they still may rule to give them access to the industry, it ain't over yet.
I want to hold on to that thought. I want to come back and talk to you about that. I might surprise you in some of my questions when we come back, folks. Tintel,
okay.
I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm full of surprises. You know that. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Mike Menzies. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Mike Menzies is our guest. He's our good friend. He's got lots of good information that's timeless that he has deposited with us in our brain, the archives of our, on our website over the years, Mike has. And there are dozens of interviews that Mike and I have conducted. Much of the information that we talked about is timeless, especially with regard to banks and small businesses working together. So I encourage you to find his position in our brain trust. And it's easy to do this week because he's right there on the schedule. You'll link right through to it. Or he's also will be on the blog later today. And you can link right through to all his stuff right there. So that's real easy to do. Mike, we were talking about Walmart and Walmart's desire to have a bank. And I know, I surprise small business owners when I speak to them. And one of the things I say to them oftentimes is that small businesses should thank Walmart. And they always furrow their brow, and sometimes they throw food at me when I say that. But I tell them that they should thank Walmart, because what Walmart does is it takes people out of their store who were never going to do business with them anyway. People who only shop for price were never going to be a small business owner's prospect anyway. So they should thank Walmart. Now, I'm a free trader. I believe in competition. I like competition. I think competition is good for everybody. Why would it not be a good thing for Walmart to be a competitor for banks?
It's a great national debate, Jim, and the reason it's a great national debate is how much concentration should there be in our economy, and to what at what level is it acceptable, and at what level is it unacceptable? I am a laissez-faire free market economist as well, and I believe that competition is very, very healthy, and I believe that the survival of the fittest is appropriate when it comes to commerce. However, I worry about extraordinary concentration.
And if explain you what just, you mean when you use that word concentration.
Concentration. Just
explain
imagine,
what you mean by that.
Just imagine for a moment that Walmart, an organization that is responsible for almost 5% of the GDP of our $11 trillion economy, can redirect deposits to lend for its own objectives.
Yep.
Just imagine that Walmart can sell certificates of deposits and redirect that money to lend to individuals so they can buy television sets.
So what you're saying is it diverts that money from the marketplace cash flow.
It interrupts the free market world.
The flow of the cash.
Right.
It diverts it from the possibility of going to your bank or Bank of America, and it basically continues to circulate in-house.
It concentrates power. Imagine an organization that size having FDIC insurance and then failing. Who's going to pay for that?
Right.
The answer is the taxpayers are going to pay for it. It wouldn't
be
any different than when we bailed out Chrysler or Lockheed or First Republic or the bank in Washington or the Bank of Boston. You know, we've had failures of entities in this nation that were a tenth the size of Walmart that the government felt had to be bailed out to protect the economy. Can you imagine if the business model of Walmart matured to the point where they skinnied down margins to the point where they couldn't make it, and the government had to come in and bail it out? So there's a great, great debate about what is a legitimate level of concentration. And Walmart is using a tool called an IRC, which means that they would not be regulated by the Federal Reserve the way all the other big banks of this nation are regulated.
That's not a good thing.
No, of course not.
Now that's clearly not a good thing. If they want to play in the banking world, they need
then
to play by
to play
banking
by the
rules.
Same rules.
That's right. Now I agree with that.
Yep, their business, their commercial business should be regulated by the banking regulators to determine whether there is any risk between banking and commerce.
And don't,
there should be firewalls set up that protect any eventuality, and they should have to operate by the exact same rules as the big banks.
And don't let Walmart say, well, we're only using it for our own purposes. Once they get it, they're going to productize this thing like crazy, no question about it. But you know, it's an important debate that's going to happen. And I agree with you, Mike. I mean, you're probably like me a little bit. You're torn between the free market survival of the fittest thing. But at the same time, I agree with you. They need to operate by the same rules. Mike, unfortunately, we've run out of time. Will you come back again real soon?
It's always good to be with you, Jim.
Mike Menzies, ladies and gentlemen. He's the best. He's president of Eastern Bank & Trust, and that's EasternBankAndTrust.com. Check out that website. I worked hard for that website. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.